Geek news, reviews, commentary, not just another podcast.
Are the Ordinary Pickball Broadcast.
I got nothing.
Now here comes your host, Kyle Abear,
of the world, Steve.
Welcome to the Big Ball Broadcast, episode 42. My name is Kyle Abear. You can hear me as the voice of Kiba on Naruto on Cartoon Network and Naruto Clash of Ninja 2 for GameCube. That's coming out this week.
This is your co-host, Otherworld Steve. I'm an anime journalist, I guess a soon-to-be video game journalist, and webmaster of KyleAbear.com.
Let's back up a second here. Now, you a video game journalist? What magazine are you going to be writing for that?
I don't know. Beckett Media, for whom I partake with the Beckett Anime and Manga, has a couple video game magazines. One of them is a cheat magazine, and the other one is an online massive multiplayer gaming magazine. And some of my stuff will turn up in one or the other. Maybe someday both.
Rock and roll. Okay. Well, in the meantime, Beckett Anime and Manga is in a newsstand near you, and chances are it's got an article that Steve wrote. Or maybe two or three or four. You never know. I don't know. What the hell is in this month's issue, anyway?
In this month's issue, it is the special bonus features that we'll hopefully one day see that were bundled with the Japanese release of the Fullmetal Alchemist movie Conqueror of Shambhala.
Ah, yes, yes. Funimation says that special edition has been pushed back to November. And, yes, for more details, pick up the new Beckett Anime and Manga magazine. There. Now, if I need to firmly wipe the brown off my nose, and let's just forge ahead. Yeah, this week we're talking about the Wii's Mirrored Link and a new Bleach game for the Wii, getting a new exclusive character. There's a Blu-ray HD DVD hybrid disc coming along. Sony screws over gamers again. Yeah, who'd have thought? New Evangelion game and movies on the way. Microsoft Xbox 360. We've got a bunch of announcements for the 360 here. Comcast Cabler gets Spaceballs. And some anime announcements. Some new shows coming to the IFC channel. Independent Film Channel, for those who didn't know. Let's start by kicking off with a couple of emails here. Sir Chrissy Poo has written again. He says, "Now, I love the show, as I've stated in the past, but don't diss my man Namor, the Submariner. Whether you like him or not, was a pivotal and very important character. First off, he was the first real anti-hero in comics. He paved the way for characters like Lobo and Wolverine. Secondly, he is Marvel's first mutant. When Namor was created, he was the first character that they gave powers to whose lineage could not give an explanation. So he paved the way for all X-Men and various other characters. So now that my geek rant is over, keep up the good work, guys. Thank you, Sir Chrissy Pooh."
I've only got this to say. "And the Fantastic Four was Marvel's first family. Let's look how that turned out."
Cheers to that, brother. No, it's cool, man. Yay, everyone has different taste, all right? You like the Submariner, that's fine. Just doesn't do anything for me. I'm just saying. Yeah. But anyway, Double J writes, "I want to like the PS3. I really do. I mean, they have Gran Turismo that the gearhead in me loves, and Metal Gear Solid 4, which the game lover in me craves. But outside of that, what else does Sony have in the exclusive department now? GTA is multi-console. There's no guarantee there'll be a Guitar Hero 3 for the PS3. Katamari is dead. Perhaps Final Fantasy will stick with Sony for their standard single-player games. And who knows if we'll see another Ico Shadow game. And I don't know, MGS4 is safe." Oh, okay. Edit. "And I don't think MGS4 is safe, considering that is the only one that hasn't been ported over elsewhere. Nintendo has a huge selection of exclusive titles that everyone anticipates. Microsoft has Halo and Gears of War and exclusive console rights to PC-only games like Oblivion. Great show. It keeps me sane during slow days at work. Keep up the great work. Double J," and he wanted to plug a website here, chasingculture.com. Thank you much, Double J.
I do sincerely share that sentiment. I really want to like the PS3 as well. There's a lot of things that are scaring me about it. I have some big Gran Turismo news coming up in just a few minutes. I haven't heard any real big incentives. You know, I mean, the price point, as we both agree, it's like the first like hands-off thing, and then of course the limited shipment to North America. But aside from that, yeah, where am I going with this?
Well, let's just dive right into the news here. We teased it a little bit ago. Sony screws over gamers. What else could they possibly do to shoot themselves in the foot?
This really came to me as a great surprise. Apparently, there's a game coming out for the PS3 called Gran Turismo HD. Should make a lot of fanboys excited. The trippy thing here is two versions hitting the market, two different SKUs. Now, this news is coming to us from Famitsu, the Japanese gaming magazine.
Yeesh.
So I figure they know what they're talking about. And according to them, HD Premium will ship with two courses, 30 cars, and additional 30 cars and additional two courses online at a later date that you will download to your hard drive later on. The other game, basically, is called Gran Turismo HD Classic, and it works on a microtransaction type thing. Basically, what that means is you buy the game, and you get no cars and no courses initially. And you have to go online, and you have to pay for your cars and your courses. The prices are going to range anywhere between 43 cents to 85 cents per car. Now, that may change because Sony may round up to 50 cents to a dollar per car. And then the courses are going to cost somewhere between $1.71 and $4.26 per course. And again, Sony will probably round up to like $1.50 to $4.50 per course. So in the end, if you want to get everything, and you're looking at 750 cars and 50 tracks, it could very well cost you $975 to get all of this stuff.
My initial reaction to that is, can we get Sony's marketing crew out of the Sony Corporation and on stage at a comedy club somewhere on open mic night? Because this is a joke!
Sony tries to justify it by saying, well, you know, new things are always popping up. There's always new cars coming on the market, or we might have an idea for a really cool course. And we're going to be able to, you know, keep updating this content for you online so you can purchase the latest and greatest. But, you know, again, there's a lot of completists out there who, you know, like Pokemon, gotta catch them all. And in the end, oh yeah, humongous hit to the wallet. I've never heard of a $1,000 video game before.
Okay, Sony, WTF, mate. Well, shall we move along in other video game news here? The Xbox 360 got a couple announcements here. They're finally going to get the HD DVD drive in Japan, okay? As of this podcast, an English or a United States release has not been mentioned yet. I got this off of Engadget.com. November 17th, yep, just a couple days before the Wii comes out in the United States, 360 owners in Japan can get their hands on the much-talked-about HD DVD drive. The price is equivalent to about $170 and is approximated to retail in the U.S. for about $200, so there you go. Comes bundled with an Xbox 360 Universal Media Remote. It connects to the 360 via a mini USB. Also, there's a software update by year's end that will upgrade the Xbox 360 to be able to run games at 1080p. That's a full HD resolution if you have an HD TV. It will automatically upscale your current games to run at that as well. Now, I was reading this the big hairy butt that Steve usually mentions. Here's the butt from CNET.com. It says, because the 360 lacks an HDMI output, the only way to get the improved HD resolution will be through the system's default component outputs by adding a VGA cable, which is sold separately. The problem is almost no HD TVs actually accept 1080p video signals via their component inputs. VGA or RGB inputs tend to fare better in this regard, but they're not as prevalent on HD TVs as the ubiquitous component inputs are. Also, movie studios have the option of adding a so-called image constraint token to their HD DVD and Blu-ray movies. That's a copy protection option that delivers less than optimal resolution through all outputs but HDMI. They have yet to do so, but if they reverse course, watching HD DVDs on the 360 would deliver a movie watching experience that's little better than that of standard DVD.
Yeah. Isn't that also a problem with the Dead Rising game? I think it that was the game I was reading about where they were saying the in-game text, if you don't have a widescreen TV or an HD TV and you're watching it, you're playing it on a standard TV, you can't read the in-game text. And I guess Microsoft has come out recently and said they were going to release an online patch for that, but they decided against it. So basically, if you're playing it on a studio TV and you can't read the text, tough noogies, that's the way you're going to have to play the game.
Yeah, and one of our loyal listeners, Berserker Tiki, commented to me on Instant Messenger the other night. He said that he heard, I forget who it was, I guess it was in Microsoft or some sort of company representative, basically dissed the fans by saying, well, we only assume people with a 360 have an HD TV. Ouch.
Yeah, I mean, they should know kind of firsthand that, you know, not everybody in America has got an HD TV in their home yet. You know, it's still considered relatively new technology.
Yeah, yeah. And the problem I had with Dead Rising, because I do have a widescreen plasma ED, enhanced definition TV, I could read the text just fine. My problem is the lack of a really good save option. The save option made me trade that thing in like within a week or two. It was like so annoying, but yeah, that was definitely an issue there, the whole HD thing. It's like, can you even read what's on the screen?
And you know, I guess that's kind of like another one of my concerns I have for the PS3 is how much of their Blu-ray games are geared towards people who have HD TVs, and you know, is it really beneficial for somebody who is running a regular TV to play these games on a TV like that?
Yeah, I mean, the Congress and the FCC have pushed back the date to standardize HD TV because, frankly, we're not ready. We're not ready to convert. Prices are coming down, but you know, not everyone has a lot of money.
In other 360 news, this is big if you own a 360 and it keeps blowing up. Apparently, Microsoft has finally changed their tune and said, we will fix your 360s for free. We acknowledge there's a problem. We know about the three red lights of doom. And, you know, normally they were charging $139 for you to send them your system and get it fixed. But now they said, we'll fix it for free because we will finally go public and acknowledge we screwed up. And this has been confirmed on the official Xbox forms. But here's the catch, because, you know, like, as you addressed, there's always that big, hairy but.
But
the big, hairy but is you have to have a 360 that was manufactured prior to 2006.
Well, I'm screwed. I only got mine a few months ago.
Basically, you call up the 1-800 number, you give them your SKU, your serial number. They can date the date of manufacture from that, and when it's prior to 2006, then you can send it to them, they'll fix it for free. And they'll also extend your warranty for 2 more years. But if it was bought after 2006, you got to pay the $139 to get it fixed.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I seem to recall the holidays of 2005, there was a slight Xbox 360 shortage. How many people actually have one that backdates that far?
Kind of sounds like a somewhat convenient, looking like a compromise, but not really thing going on in the Microsoft department.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a little wacky. But damn, I got to say it again. They've got a great system on their hands. Now, I have a third party. It's called an intercooler. It's a little fan device you plug into the back of the 360. That thing works. It's worth $30 to protect your investment. And that is one hell of an investment. So a little plug there for that little toy.
Now, have you heard any confirmation about Microsoft dropping prices for this holiday season of the 360?
I've heard rumors about that, but the only thing that I was fairly certain about from reading online is that the price decrease will definitely affect Japan.
That I did see, and conveniently, I haven't seen anything about the North American market yet.
Yeah, I don't know, and I don't know how the sales figures are compared to Japan. Obviously, in Japan, it's not doing so hot. Here, I think it's starting to find its footing since it's in good supply now.
Yeah, well, as our listeners know, I do not own a 360 yet, and I'm just waiting for that excuse to go out and buy one.
Yeah, if you knock, $70 to $100 off that price, you're going to entice a whole new fan base right there.
Well, I mean, as it stands right now, you can still buy a Wii at launch and a 360 at the current price for less than a hot-rodded PS3.
That is very true. Now, let's go ahead and launch into our Wii discussion here. So, this Mirrored Link, is that a tease to the Zelda game? Because that's a launch title, I believe, isn't it?
I don't know if it's a launch. I keep hearing a lot of different things about that. But here's hoping it's a launch. Actually, I saw the leaked cover art for it a couple nights ago. It looks really sweet. But again, this is just really strange news that caught me off guard. First, let me remind people that Twilight Princess, the new Legend of Zelda game, It's coming out on both Nintendo consoles. It's coming out on the Wii and the GameCube. Now, this I did not know. Here's a little bit of like geeky Nintendo trivia for you. Link apparently is left-handed. Link wields his sword with his left hand. Well, Shigeru Miyamoto, who is the creator of Mario and Donkey Kong and Zelda, he was at E3 this past year, and he was watching a lot of people play the Wii, and he made a startling revelation, and that was the fact that the majority of the people playing with the Wii were using the Wiimote with their right hand. So Nintendo's decision, and this is like still rattling my brain, was to mirror flip the entire game of Twilight Princess for the Wii. So if you buy the GameCube game and you buy the Wii game, they're going to be literally polar opposites.
Wow. Okay.
You know, and I've read a lot of outrage on a lot of forums, people saying, well, why do they just flip Link? Why do they flip the entire game? And again, I don't know. You know, maybe it's for collector's purpose. You get to go out and buy them both because, in essence, it'll be two different gameplays.
Right.
You know, you'd be going about things in the total opposite direction. But yeah, to flip an entire game instead of just flipping the character, that was a very weird decision on Nintendo's part.
Yeah, that's that actually addresses something I never thought of. I mean, using the Wiimote as a, you know, a sword component to your game, okay, it seems really cool, but yeah, if you're right-handed or left-handed, well, okay, in my case, I'm a southpaw, I'm left-handed. Am I screwed because the character is only animated to reflect a right-handed person?
Now, again, there was another debate that was brought up in the forums, and that was, you know, so Nintendo doesn't like left-handed people? Because apparently there isn't an option for you to choose which hand you're going to use, you know, like combat with.
I wonder if fixing that quote-unquote glitch would actually delay the launch of the game, you know, put it off 3 months or whatever.
But again, you know, I guess it's a majority rules scenario, and if you don't like it on the Wii, you can always play it on the GameCube.
Alrighty, and if you're a big Bleach fan, the anime, of course, is on Cartoon Network in the United States in its English form, and available on many other outputs in Japanese form. But we will be announcing an original Bleach game. Now, yes, there are already games for the DS, for the PSP in Japan, and we have some scoop here on the Bleach game for the Wii.
Yes, the Bleach game, when it releases from Sega, will introduce a brand new Bleach character. It's unknown yet if this character will eventually turn up in the manga or the anime, but this character is brandy spanking new to fans, and apparently his name is Altoro. He is created by Bleach, by the Bleach creator, and they already have the Japanese voice actor announced, but there's no announcement as of yet to when the U.S. release for the game will be or who will be voicing that character.
Okay, this kind of reminds me of them getting Dragon Ball Z's creator Akira Toriyama to come up with a new version of Frieza for Super DBZ.
Which is actually kind of cool. It wasn't totally new that it was the Mecha Frieza, who looked a lot cooler than the Mecha Frieza who was in the anime. I haven't seen the manga one, so I really don't know how it compares. But another weird thing about that, too, is because the Dragon Ball Z manga is in black and white, like all manga, nobody really knew what color Korin was, the cat on top of the tower. And I don't know if that's something that he let slide in the anime, but in the video game, if you hit the base of the tower on that level, you can make Korin fall out, and Korin's blue. And Toriyama said, well, that's the way I always wanted him to look, so that's why he's represented that way in the game.
Yeah, and that kind of brings to mind another Naruto game that we recorded recently. It'll be coming out next year for PS2. It's called Uzumaki Chronicles. And what I was told about the game is that it does skew from the manga and the anime and goes in different storytelling directions. I personally find that kind of cool. I like that games want to take a risk and try something different. I mean, we've seen the same story in Dragon Ball Z Budokai over and over and over again with story mode. How many different ways can you play this, you know, see the same storyline over and over again?
I really couldn't agree more.
Yeah, take things in a new direction. Will it always work? No, but you gotta try. You gotta risk failure.
Well, you know, the Fullmetal Alchemist games, granted they're kind of crappy and kind of disappointing from Square Enix, but they're totally unique. They go with the anime series. The events happen in between episodes of the anime, but they're totally unique experiences for the players. So it's like very rejuvenating. It's very refreshing to be able to play something totally unique, and then it also helps you as a player to immerse yourself in it. There's also this like new type of ownership to it.
Yeah, speaking of unique, there are exclusive North American games currently in development for Full Metal Alchemist, which is something I didn't think would happen. I thought maybe Square Enix would say, okay, our titles didn't do as well as anticipated because it's crappy games. But anyway, they didn't do as well as anticipated, and they didn't bring over Dream Carnival, the fighter, which I was really waiting for.
That is really bumming me out. It's basically Super Smash Brothers in the FMA universe, and I'm so bummed. I really want to play this game like crazy. Also, two Game Boy games that were released in Japan that had never been released here. There is one coming out for the DS. Don't know if it's a port of one of the Game Boy games or not. But, it's really weird. I had such higher expectations for Fullmetal Alchemist than what really happened here in the States.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird thing. Now, going back to some little more old school anime, Evangelion is a name that's always tossed around in fan circles. It's controversial. It's well revered, it's well loved, it's well despised, and it's well discussed all over the place. But because of its popularity and controversy, they apparently are going to be cranking out another game for it and some more movies, right?
The game is called Detective Evangelion. It's a PlayStation 2 game. The official website for the game just launched, and the game's coming out in November in Japan, November 22nd to be specific. There's two short little clips on the site of some in-game stuff. It doesn't really look like in-game play. It looks more like cutscenes, but very interesting nonetheless. This comes on the big announcement 2 weeks ago of four brand new Evangelion movies coming out. And the four movies will include a prequel, a mid-series movie, a sequel, and a quote-unquote final movie.
Okay, now that's something that I'm glad you clarified, because I was concerned that they were just going to retell the series again in movie form, but in multiple movies.
Now, funny you should say that. This news comes to us from New Type in Japan, and they specifically state that while the news story will be set during the same time frame as the original TV series, it will be an entirely new project, not a remake or improvement of any sort. So it goes back to what we were saying earlier. It's totally new content, even though it does follow within the same continuity.
Okay, so we can sit there and create a bunch of more mythological and religious discussions and not really know what we're talking about because the creator is secretly laughing at us.
Well, actually, for those of you who don't know, the creator literally went insane during the production of Evangelion. And that's why the last few episodes make, like, no sense. And then they made two movies to try to explain those last two episodes, and those made no sense. So, hopefully this final movie will make some sense. Now, this is coming to us from the creator of Evangelion, Hideki Anno. And he is writing the scenario for the first movie and will be the general director and manager for the entire project. So this is official from the creator, and it's all considered canon in the Evangelion universe.
Now my question is his psychosis gone, or is it just evolved?
Well, I guess early summer 2007, we'll find out.
Because you're telling me the guy went nuts during the production of the show, and he is now in charge of doing this project as well? It's like, okay, great, we got the original creator on board. Yeah, but he went insane, so what's the chances of this all making sense now, all of a sudden, you know?
Well, not really in that vein, but what I think about initially is if this does rejuvenate the Evangelion franchise, if we'll hear more news out of ADV about the live-action Evangelion movie that's kind of seems to be shelved at this point.
It does. It seems to be a dead project, as well as the live-action DBZ, which fans continue to ask me about, and it's like, there's no new information. There's nothing new out there to report. If there was, I'm sure Funimation would post it, but I think that project is not going to happen, and if it does, that'll be a true shock to me, because I am not privy to any sort of inside scoop on that. You know, you guys know what we know. Fox has the rights. A screenwriter was apparently hired to pen a screenplay, but there's no director chosen, no cast finalized, or anything.
No, I mean, the last we heard, I think, was probably well over a year ago. And that's when that Asian female porn star got asked to play Chi-Chi. And I guess due to, I don't know, contractual conflict or the fact that she was pregnant at the time, she had to decline the role, but she was very public about that. I mean, she had the information on her website, and she got it out there to people that they did contact her officially, and they did ask her to take that role, but that was about it. And again, that was like 14 months ago.
Oh my. Well, we do have some concrete information on some other anime shows that luckily do make sense. And they both happen to be Funimation shows here. Gunslinger Girl and Basilisk. And that is not from Funimation. That's from Steve. Sexy. But yeah, these two shows are coming to the independent film channel, known as IFC on your cable or satellite lineup, as part of the Grind Hour. It's a new anime block on the network. It will run Fridays from 11 to midnight Eastern. And let's see, Gunslinger Girl and Basilisk start January 12th. Let's see. Oh, yeah, Basilisk actually premieres October 6th at 11 p.m. Now, I haven't seen much of Gunslinger Girl, but I have seen the first volume of Basilisk. And if you're a fan of Ninja Scroll, I highly recommend it.
And the first volume comes with a really cool box.
Yeah, we're talking like it's like wooden. It's got a little scroll inside it, actually. Speaking of Ninja Scroll, it's got a really cool thing. It's got some collector cards inside. Just a beautiful, beautiful presentation. Highly recommended. I'm not just saying that because I'm in it for all of 3 seconds. But I get to play my character. My character is Hattori Hanzo, like the actual name of the character that you see on Kill Bill. But no actual relation to Sonny Chiba there.
This is another thing. I'm just like shocked and amazed with this entire podcast because everything just came out of left field for me. This is a project I never thought was going to take off, and apparently it has. MGM TV has commissioned an animated series based on Mel Brooks' 1987 Spaceballs movie.
Whoa, dude!
Pretty shocking, but here's the part that had fans throwing bricks in the streets today. They sold exclusive rights in the U.S. to Comcast G4 Cable Network.
Okay. Comcast G4 Network to get an exclusive Spaceballs cartoon? Wow.
Yeah. It's almost as bad as Pee-wee's Playhouse being on Cartoon Network.
God bless his soul. Mel Brooks used to be very, very funny. Spaceballs, I don't know. The younger generation seems to really like it, but I watched it. I was a senior in high school when that came out, and I don't know. 4 out of 5 jokes on that movie fall flat to me. If you want to see good Mel Brooks, classic Mel Brooks, you got to watch Blazing Saddles or Young Frankenstein or History of the World Part 1. Those movies are funny.
Well, if you are a Spaceballs fan and that does tickle your funny bone, you can look forward to a 1-hour pilot and 13 half-hour episodes. Series kicks off on G4 in fall of 2007. Let's see, what else? Mel Brooks is going to be voicing 2 characters in this animated series, which I guess is kind of cool. I can't find the names. Now, he will be voicing Yogurt. Oh, there we go, and President Scroob.
Yes, President Scroob.
Germany's Berliner Film Company will provide the animation, and G4, I guess, you know, 59 million subscribers, not bad numbers. They're going to be involved in the making of Spaceballs. And, yeah, again, if something you're looking forward to, fall 2007. Not so much.
Did you see Spaceballs?
I have, more than once. And I'm a huge, huge, huge Star Wars fan, much like you.
Yes.
But, again, it's kind of potty humor, kind of elementary humor, kind of like playground humor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I need something a little more intellectual.
Yeah, and think about that and then dumbed down and watered down. Like, what if they're trying to get, like, little kids to watch it?
We don't like the kiddie stuff too much.
No, not so much. Okay, so got one more little story here for this week's show. Comes to us from...
This isn't a little story. This is a big story.
Okay, you're right. This is a big, 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 big story if you're following Next Generation DVD technology here. Engadget.com is my source for this, although it's all over the damn place now. Most movie studios have already picked a side in the HD DVD Blu-ray war, but for the few still contemplating a near suicidal attempt at a simultaneous DVD, HD DVD, and Blu-ray release, there is help on the way. A pair of Warner engineers have been working on a way to get all three formats to hold hands on a single disc, and have recently filed a patent to that effect. This is made possible by the fact that Blu-ray uses a certain size laser to read its info layer, while HD DVD uses the same blue laser wavelength at a slightly different depth. The hybrid disc works by making the Blu-ray layer act like a two-way mirror, reflecting enough light for Blu-ray playback, but letting enough light through for HD DVD operation. As for DVD, regular standard DVD, that layer can be found on the flip side of the disc. Now, of course, the new format will cost more to produce than your standard next-gen disc. We're not quite sure where this is all going to lead, but, you know, it's a nice step in a good direction, I think, because I don't know if we're going to have a clear winner with Blu-ray or HD DVD, because it's a lukewarm acceptance from consumers at this point.
Yeah, and, you know, Warner Brothers is one of the last holdout studios. They haven't decided, you know, who they were going to back. As a matter of fact, they recently released The Lake House, which is a romance starring Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock. They released it on all three current formats simultaneously, and as you mentioned, that's near suicide for all the studios to do that. For them to pull this off would be huge, not only for the video market, but also for the gaming market, with PlayStation's Blu-ray support and Microsoft's HD support. To unify all these things and to only, you know, see one case on the shelf with that particular game or movie you want to purchase, I don't care if it costs a little bit more. For me, that's just nirvana.
I was in Best Buy tonight just looking around, and I happened to notice the display for HD DVD, and I just picked up the title Animal House, classic comedy, great comedy. And it said on the packaging that it was a dual format. It was HD and regular DVD. The price was $30. So I thought, okay, you pay a little bit more, but at least you have a choice.
Well, I mean, the big thing right now is you want to avoid the consumer confusion, because that can happen very easily for the not tech savvy. You walk into a store and, you know, you got Blu-ray, HD DVD, and DVD format sitting on the shelf. What the hell are you going to buy? You know, it's kind of a crapshoot. Again, to have all three formats available would be freaking awesome. Now, the only thing that could top that is if the HD and the Blu-ray people can get together and modify the formats to come up with one really awesome kick-ass format and then have that be the new standard.
Yeah, apparently they tried time and time again over the past few years to kind of unite the formats and come up with one new standard for next-gen technology, and it just never came to fruition, and that's really a shame, because I thought for sure they would figure that out. I mean, they created this wonderful thing called DVD, and it's revolutionized home video. I mean, totally. But yeah, it's kind of a weird thing right now. So the audience is still at large. They just want a cheap DVD. They don't really care about HD DVD or Blu-ray.
And the scary thing, too, is that it isn't always the best man who wins, because Betamax was far superior to VHS, yet VHS won because of having, you know, certain studio backers and whatnot. So the case here where they're already saying, you know, HD is somewhat superior to Blu-ray in initial screenings, you know, Blu-ray can end up winning purely out of studio support and not out of, you know, technological superiority.
Yeah, and that brings up an interesting point about, you know, the backers of these formats, whether it's movie studios or how much these corporations buy store shelf space, you know, at video game stores or electronics stores. You know, Blu-ray was, you know, Sony invested a lot of money to push Blu-ray and ask Best Buy to take the HD DVD stuff and kind of move it out of the way. And, you know, so chances are you walk into a Best Buy, you got to really dig to find HD DVD stuff.
I'll make a prediction now that if the formats do stay separate and Blu-ray and HD DVD remain on the shelves as their own entities, I truly believe that Blu-ray will win for two simple reasons. Number one, if and when Sony can get their head out of their butts regarding the PS3 and they become readily available. You know, a lot of people were playing DVDs on their PS2s prior to buying a DVD player. So I think your PS3 is going to be your Blu-ray player for quite some time. And if it is the be-all, end-all console that Sony raves it's going to be, then you're probably going to use that as your all-in-one entertainment system. But more so, the fact that Panasonic is backing Microsoft And Panasonic is a huge company. You know, they're going to have most of the players on the shelves, and they're going to have them at a reasonable price. And that's what the consumer is going to look at. It really comes down to price over superior quality.
There you go. And whatever your opinion is, we want to hear about it. Stay tuned. Maria will tell you how to get in touch with the show, and we encourage you to do so because we like reading your emails. We love getting your feedback. Make sure and post that feedback on our blog page or shoot us an email or call us, leave us a voicemail. Either way, get in touch and become a part of the show because we truly appreciate you downloading and listening to the show. It makes it worth it for us. So until next time, this is Kyle Hebert.
This is Otherworld Steve.
Visit our official blog page at bigbaldbroadcast.blogspot.com. Donations are graciously accepted and appreciated. Please email us at thebigbaldbroadcast@gmail.com. You can also leave a voicemail on our listener line at 818-574-3607. Additional announcements by Maria Vu. Remember to stay geeky!
Ho ho, very funny. Ha ha, it is to laugh.
Yeah!